Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You're going to be encouraged because a shift has taken place. A shift has taken place in America, in the atmosphere, which means there's an authority that's here to be able to accomplish what God has called us to do as the church. But understand this, it's going to require you stepping out in faith. You can't go with, you know, the fear and trembling is supposed to be before God, not before man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, quite often people say, well, I got fear and trembling. That's because you're scared of that man or woman or person or thing or whoever, your mama, your dad, whoever, I don't know. And, but it's like, no, it's like, it's time. We have to step out. And if the second great awakening and the first great awakening was done on horseback, come on. You know, you're talking moments, in just moments, you know, that the glory of God is already filling the earth. But in moments, people can reach out and touch him, though he's not far from them, and just shift an entire heart of a people as the authority is shift. And if you haven't yet, begin to go to ez12.org, it's the letter E, the letter Z, 12.org. That's for Ezekiel. You know, this is a sign. It's time for us to respond, as you also heard a prophetic word that the Isaac, the hurricane that came over Florida, was a shot fired over the bow of America's ship. Simultaneously, when that word was being given, shots were being fired at the Empire State Building in New York. And you got to hear this prophetic word. You go to the VFN Torch at VFNDV.com. You need to build your faith to understand, hey, you know, warning shot means another one's coming.
Right.
And Isaac means laughter. And what Proverbs 1 says, because you didn't listen to me, because you didn't listen to my rebuke, you didn't respond to me, I'm going to laugh at your disaster, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
And, you know, I don't know how your doctrine relates up to that, but you need to align it with the word of God. That's what God says. And it's like, okay, these troubles going to come on you. You didn't listen to me, but the trouble's going to bring you back to me, hopefully, if you understand and have a perspective of what's going on. If messengers that God's raising up will explain to you how God operates and what he does. And hey, that's what VFN Radio is, a messenger. We're talking to you now, letting you know, listen, that God was even telling us back then that his hand was being lifted. Not totally gone, because it would just totally, we'd just go to nothing, but enough to get our attention. When you got to hear this, you know, you got to hear Charles Stanley with In Touch Ministries, you know, a man of God, and he's sharing the perspective of this Boston bombing. And it's just really powerful, because if you know Charles Stanley, you know, it's like James Robinson sharing the word, you know, either humble yourself or be humiliated. Mm-hmm. And you have to, it's like, this is James Robinson. I mean, he used to be a rough dude and coarse, and then he got saved. No, then he got, he repented of all that and got freed, and now he's just this big ball of jello love, you know. He's like, mm-hmm. And Charles Stanley's just, you know, consistent and persistent, and just, but he is, I mean, he's tapped into, and I want you to hear, he's given a perspective right here on In Touch. He's given a you get to this also, the fullness of this word at intouch.org, and he also has an app that you can even download. But it's just Charles Stanley sharing from Atlanta about the perspective of the bombing that took place, and listen to it, and begin to help get a perspective, because he delivers it just like it's to be delivered. Listen up. This is Charles Stanley.
So people who have those feelings, those attitudes, they have an unscriptural view of God, that he's a God of love, and all of us are going to get to heaven some way or another. Everybody's going to get there. Praise God. Everybody's going to get there. Everybody is not going to get there. And without Christ, you're not going to get there, whoever you may be. And he's a God of love and goodness and mercy.
And so you're listening to Charles Stanley. This is so important, because he's trying to bring some clarity and doctrine. He's this gospel of grace versus the gospel of Jesus Christ is being mm-hmm. preached. It says you can do anything, say anything, as long as you said a prayer. I mean, it's not going to happen. Everybody's not going to get there who hadn't made Jesus the Lord of their life. And so he's explaining that right now, because the intensity. But listen up. This is Charles Stanley.
So I think about the people who don't know the ways of God. Listen, you cannot know the ways of God without reading the Word of God. You can't know the ways of God without studying the Word of God. because herein we find out who he is, how he thinks, how he works. And God has certain ways in which he works. There's certain things he puts up with, certain things he doesn't. And the ways of God are very important and very exciting, really, to learn. And one of the ways of God is simply this, that he answers the prayers of his children when they come to him in the right mind, right heart. He answers their prayers. And we could just go down a long list of the ways God works. One of the ways that God works is he chastens. That is, he gives us a whipping, is what he's saying. He whips us a little bit when we get out of line with him. Is that good or bad? Well, if you get in the whipping, you'd say no. If you know what his goal is, you'd say, yes, God, don't stop till you get me right. Get me back in line, whatever it might be. The people who don't understand the ways of God, they think we can just pass legislation and just go our way and live in sin, immorality, and pass all of this, and nothing's going to happen. Yes, it is going to happen, because God will not violate his own. Listen, we're asking God to violate his own nature by ignoring the corruption, the immorality, and the direction in which we're heading. He's not going to do it. He can't violate himself. And so there are people who say, well, I just don't know about God. Well, the reason you don't know about him, you haven't read his word. And many people find it painful just to face the idea of God. So they say, well, you know what? I don't want any of this God stuff in my life. Well, listen, you're going to get it. You're either going to get him in your life now, or you're going to get it in the judgment, and there is no escape. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment of Almighty God.
This is so important, because George Barna says 81% of regular church attenders, people who profess to be Christians, aren't even reading their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the 19% that are reading, 3% of them are the only ones that are really making decisions based off of it in their life. And so he's saying, listen, the reason why you don't know, you're not reading your Bible.
Right.
You're not reading your Bible. You're listening to Charles Stanley in his response to, you know, this bombing in Boston that took place. Listen.
And so our response to these things ought to be asking the Lord, well, why do you let these things happen? And so many people don't want to answer that. So I just simply ask a series of sobering and inescapable questions, really. Does God plan the kind of events we saw happen? Does he plan those? Does he execute those? No, he does not. The second question is, did God know about them before they happened? Yes, he did. He knows about everything. Well, what's the next question? The next question is the natural one. If he knew about it, then why didn't he prevent it? Could he have prevented it? Yes, he could have. Why didn't he? Well, let's go back to mention one of the scripture again, and I'm coming to this. He says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, listen, was he working in behalf of evil? No, he was not. This was an evil act, mercilessly killing people, children of God, creations of God. Listen, this is an evil act. But let me add one to that. Those doctors out there who are killing babies day after day after day for money, they're just as guilty of tragedy as someone who would destroy a building full of people.
You're listening to Charles Stanley's response to getting a perspective of this Boston bombing taking place. And, you know, it's this horrific disaster where 4 lives were lost, many people injured and lost limbs, and it was tragic. But listen, millions of children are being done the very same way. They're literally ripping babies out of a womb with their limbs, you know, as they can't pull the baby out. And mm-hmm. So they'll literally pull the baby apart trying to pull the baby out.
Mm.
And we can't even show you these pictures. But it's the same thing happening to the child, the innocent bloodshed
right.
is taking place. And he's saying, listen, we got to get a perspective of why these things are taking place. You're listening to Charles Stanley give a perspective, a godly perspective, of this Boston bombing, this terrorist bombing that took place.
Tragedy is tragedy, any way you look at it. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit murder. Well, to take a child that is alive, out of the womb, some, and still in the womb, and to kill the baby is nothing but murder. Why don't we hear about it on the television, the radio? Why are we so silent about something that is so disastrous in the mind of God? He knows what's going on. He sees what's happening to his precious creations.
This is so important because say what you must and say what you will, the church is deathly silent through all these things. Silent. And it's time for us to rise up. And he's going to challenge us in this. You're listening to Charles Stanley give a perspective of why did this bombing take place? What happened with the Boston Marathon terrorist bombing?
We're not talking about grass and flowers. We're talking about people, souls, lives. And yet it goes on and on and on. So what can we expect? So could he have prevented what we've seen happen? Yes, he could, because the scripture says that God has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all, everything, every possible thing he rules over it. Secondly, if he's not in charge, if he's not in control, who is? Is it luck? Is it chance? Or is it just fate? And the third question is, if he could not have prevented this, what does it imply?
We've got to hear this, and we're answering the questions about what is God's perspective on this? You know, what is God's perspective in regards to this? And he just got to finish talking about abortions that it was taking place. You know, it's horrific what took place in Boston. It was just I mean, think about it. The death, the mayhem, the loss of limbs. But he's talking about the 50 million children who've been treated that way in their mother's womb in America. Mm-hmm. The abortions that took place. And if you just Google the word abortions and click on images, you'll see the very same thing. 50 million. Mm-hmm. 50 million. We have to, look, dear God, end abortion, send revival. Listen, this is all a response. But God's mercy saying, listen, this is minimum force necessary to get us to turn back to him. But listen, if you listen to Charles Stanley's perspective on In Touch Ministry about the bombing that took place, and he's answering these three questions. Listen up.
If he could not have prevented what's been going on these past days, it says those two men were stronger than God. If he couldn't have prevented it, they were stronger than God because they set out for the sole purpose of killing and maiming people. That was their goal. Ungodly goal. Satanic goal. Sadistic goal. A depraved mind. A dark mind. And they set out to do it. Why did God allow it to happen? Well, let's think about that for a moment. Was it his will? No. Watch this. There is the will of God, and then there's the permissive will of God. It was not the will of God that it happened, but he permitted it to happen. He will allow you to disobey him if you absolutely insist. But with that comes the penalty. And the penalty depends upon what you may have done. So why does God allow these things to happen? And whatever he allows, listen, whatever he allows, he sets limitations on it. It could have been 5 bombs. It could have been a lot more people. But there was a limitation. Did God do it? No, he did not. He had nothing to do with it, but he did allow it to happen, and we have to face that. So here's the question. Why would God allow something like this to happen? Well, let's go back. Why did he allow 9/11 to happen and kill 3,000 people? And isn't it interesting? Listen carefully to the rest of this message in case you've missed the first part. Think clearly. 9/11, 3,000 people lost their lives, plus all the connections and families out there, thousands of people connected to them. 3 weeks, churches were full of people. Praying, thanking God, praising God for safety and all this. After about 3 weeks, you know what happened? We went back to our same old ways. You think God forgot that? No, he didn't. So the question is this. Is God sending us another warning? You say, warning about what? Okay, let's think about it for a moment. We decided to get the Bible out of schools, get prayer out of schools. We decided that we were just going to make our society very immoral. And the best way to make it immoral is to close the Word of God. Don't see what God thinks, what He says. Just do what comes naturally in a fallen life. And so what we have is we have a society that is becoming more and more corrupt, more and more immoral as the days go by. Look at what these legislators are voting on. You and I would never have thought that it would ever become an issue, never cross their minds. Look at the kind of society you're going to grow your children up in. Are they going to be in the situations and circumstances where it'll be very difficult for them to live a Christian life, to live a godly life because of the immorality that's all around them? It already is here. In other words, what else can we do to slap the hand of Almighty God to tell Him to stay out of our business? Because we're doing everything we can possibly do to violate the Word of God. And you say, well, these people don't know the Word of God. They could if they wanted to. And listen, there's so much gospel on the radio and television. If you live in this country, it's your own fault if you don't listen. It's your own fault if you don't listen.
You think about that. That's exactly it. There's so many things. You're listening to Charles Stanley. Hope we get a chance to hear all this. But, you know, the perspective of what's taken place in America, and you got to force yourself not to hear the gospel. You have to force yourself. I mean, there's probably never been a generation like today's generation that has it all around them. Granted, you know, that there's so many contradictions, and the Joshua generation, as I mentioned earlier, not even concerned about the next generation, even aborting the next generation. The pagan generation that's just basically, you know, whatever. And there's a lot of contradictions. But I got good news for you. God is raising up messengers that are all in alignment with the voice of the Lord and anointed to be able to bring a delivering message to you. So begin to look for the anointing. Begin to look for the Lord. You're listening to Charles Stanley give a perspective of this Boston bombing. Listen up.
And so why are all these things happening? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons, not only that, but that we're trying to remove God out of our society. We started back yonder little by little with school children, and now we're up to the point now that we don't want any crosses anywhere. Let me ask you, what's wrong with a cross? I'll tell you what's right with it. It's where Jesus died for our salvation, and the ungodly world we live in does not want to be reminded what? They're reminded of a salvation because they don't want to think about having any sin to be saved from. And so they want to take the cross down, take them off of buildings, take them this and other. Before long, they'll tell you, ladies, you can't wear it around your neck. And then, what's wrong with the cross? It's a reminder of their sinful condition. There's a Savior. Secondly, why would they allow a teacher to tell the kids to put the name of Jesus on a piece of paper and stomp the paper? They should have been fired within 5 minutes. Still there, I think. So what I'm saying, what's wrong with Jesus? What all of a sudden got wrong with the name of Jesus and the cross? I mean, the name of Jesus is a part of our history all the way back. And there are folks who'd like to deny that, but there's so much proof you can't deny it. So they want to take away the cross. But what I want you to see is it's something in them. There's nothing wrong with a cross except what it represents. It represents God. It represents His love for sinful man. It represents sinful man that he needs to be saved. And it represents the price God paid in the person of Jesus Christ to save every single one of us. They can't stand it because it brings conviction. And then they'll make decisions and say, well, you know, those who are higher up. Well, what about somebody standing up to higher up and make a decision that is godly and what you know is right?
That's so important. You're listening to Charles Stanley give a perspective of the bombing. We're going to hear the rest of this in just a moment. And if we don't finish it, we'll come into the extra hour. But know this, that so many people say, you know, I would, but my boss would fire me. Or I would, you know, but like he's talking about the hires up. That kind of covers so many different genres when you say that. But like, hello, God's higher than everybody. Listen, what we're telling you, listen, this is important. This is not theory. We've seen God take people who didn't know God or thought they knew him and begin to teach them how to hear his voice. They begin to follow him and abide, and it makes no logical sense in the context of trying to figure things out the world's way, but God takes them with a word of knowledge, places them in a place, creates an entire position for them at a business, if you would, and begin to promote them faster than you could spin your head in the midst of all these things that are going on right now. Listen, our God will take care of you,
right,
but you got to choose who is your God. Who is your God? And these things that are taking place, understand that it's a warning for us. It can get worse. And we're going to continue listening in a moment in the extra hour. Just join us in the extra hour as we listen to Charles Stanley, because it's very important what he's saying, because you're going to hear, you know, that what you do is you begin to hear the same spirit, what God is saying to all of us that are hearing from him, that it's about to get worse. Many things like this are about to happen. But I got good news for you. If we turn it around, meaning our heart, if we get rid of our pagan ways and turn back to God and begin to follow him and make Jesus the Lord, leader, complete control of our lives and surrender to him and begin to walk that out and be his disciple, understand this stuff will stop. The same Lord that told us the storm is coming and the storm, allowing the storm to be here, can stop it. If you don't believe so, read about Nineveh and Jonah. There is hope. And it's so important to get a word perspective. And I like the fact that it's coming from, you know, we've heard it ourselves. Rejoiners heard it. Morningstar Ministries and others have heard it. But this is a very important, because I know there's our listeners out there that really respect Charles Stanley too and listen to his ministry and been encouraged by it. And listen to what, you know, Charles Stanley with In Touch Ministries, and you can find this in its entirety, you know, at intouch.org. But this is Charles Stanley giving perspective of this Boston bombing and about the will of God and the permissive will of God, you know, and what we're doing, and God's getting our attention. But listen up.
So little by little, we try to remove all the things that are godly, and what happens? We have a society that is now in the greatest danger it has ever been in. And I've lived long enough to see the difference. And so the question is, what's going to happen? Mark this down, and I say it with great, great sorrow in my heart. It's the beginning. It's the beginning. We've pushed God and pushed God and pushed God and ignored him. Then what is he doing? He's just pulling back his cover of safety for this nation. Listen, he protected us through two wars of which we were totally, absolutely unqualified and unprepared for, and we won them both. He can go down through the years of history how God has blessed us. And then we decided we're going to act like heathen, pagan, unbelievers. We want it in every aspect of our life, so we start in school. We're going to take off all of our clothes. We're going to close the Word of God. We're going to shut down the churches. We're going to commit all the immorality we want to. We don't want any hindrance whatsoever. When that reaches a certain point, the God of this world, of this nation, of the Word of God, he just pulls it back and lets us have what we ask for.
And it's a very important thing that he's saying here, because it's exactly how God does it. But it's also a word that was given in 2008 and 2010 by John Paul Jackson. You know, you're going to get what you ask for, mm-hmm, but you're not going to like what you get.
Right.
And, you know, some people say, well, why is this happening? It's because we asked for it, you know. And somebody says, well, I didn't ask for it. Well, did you say anything or did you remain silent? You know, I don't have the quote right now, but it goes something like this from Dr. Martin Luther King, when he's saying true evil is when good men remain silent.
Mm.
And true evil is when we say nothing, why these things persist. And that's been a history quite often, you know, in America. But today, are we still silent? Are we still trying to keep our stuff in things? Listen, you got to hear this generation. Don't give up hope for this pagan generation. It's on VFN TV soon. It's called This Generation. And understand, this stuff's going to increase until we respond to God, and there is hope. But you're listening to Charles Stanley's response to these bombs, and he's just said it's going to get worse. It's going to increase, and that's in alignment with what so many of us are hearing. We don't want to hear it. Obviously, we don't. But we also don't want the end result of not turning to God and so many people entering into hell and damnation. We want people to be saved and forgiven. You're listening to Charles Stanley's perspective on the Boston bombing that just took place within Touch Ministries. Listen up.
The Word of God, he just pulls it back and lets us have what we ask for. Now, the tragedy is this. God protects his children, but we will be in a society that is becoming more and more godless. And if ever the children of God need to stand up and be brave and courageous, this is the time. If you're not going to show courage at this point, then when are you going to start? And
that's our big response too. It's like, this is really a good time. You see the trains, you see the ghettos ahead of us. Do you see JJ, you know, what's going to happen to the Christians and the Jews? I mean, hopefully there's a related even article on, if you're listening to this off of the Torch too, they look at JJ and understand the end result for it's the Jews and Jesus or the Jews and Christians is not good. Mm-hmm. If we keep our backs or faces away from God and don't turn to him, it's just going to get worse. But understand this, that God will protect you. He'll put a mark on you and keep you in the midst of what's about to happen. You can stand rightly before God when others are not. And it's amazing how God can just bless you in the midst of great difficulty. But understand he does that so you can be assigned to others that they can turn to God too. And they can be blessed, not that because you're any better, but because God, there's a difference between those who stand with God and those who stand in darkness. You're listening to Charles Stanley give his perspective, and it's about to wrap up, but you got to hear, he said it's going to get worse, but God's going to protect those that are his.
When I hear people talk about, well, I really objected to that, but my boss said, well, you know, those who are higher up. Well, who's higher than God? Nobody's higher than God. And I believe that if believers would stand up to what you know is right and defend the Word of God and defend the morality that you know is from God, we could have a turnaround in this country. If we don't, you've got a taste of what we're going to be facing over and over and over again.
And that's you know, it would be a fool to stand here on VFN Radio, VFN TV, as we're broadcasting around the world, saying what we're saying, if we didn't believe that there's hope to turn around.
That's right.
You know, and truly, you know, we would be a fool for God any day, just like David said. You know, we would do whatever God wants us to do. But the reason why is there's hope. There's hope. We can turn around. This thing can turn around. But listen, if the world doesn't turn around, if America doesn't turn around, and all 50 states in America don't turn around, you can turn around. If all this is so that you will serve God in your generation, it's worth it. It's worth everyone that will turn around and make Jesus truly the Lord of their life. You listen to Charles Stanley. We're about to wrap this up. Perspective of this what's taking place in America, all this turmoil, and how the epicenter of the Boston bombing. Listen up.
I hate to say it. It grieved my heart so badly to say it the first time. I went back to the study, and I wanted to weep. I thank God. I'm sorry to have to say, here's what we're looking at. But this is reality. This is the truth. And so we've decided to worship the God of the body. And so things look pretty bad. So we ask this question. How are we to respond? We're to endeavor to discover the good that can come from this tragedy. You say, no, wait a minute. How can there be any good coming?
Think about that. How can any good come from that? And you were just listening to Charles Stanley. It can good become because we listen. Consider hardship as discipline that God is treating us as sons and daughters, part of the family. We can just say, you know what? It was hard. It was painful. But I've turned away. And that's what discipline is about. Godly discipline is about things happening, hardships happening that change our behavior. It's not about punitive damages. It's not about, you know, I'm going to get you for that. It's like, please turn or burn, right? Turn. Mm-hmm. And the goods comes by it, but all of a sudden when you see, You know, that we say we don't want that in our lives. We don't want that. And look what happened in past generations with all the different things that happened, and came out of that was changed behaviors. But with that understanding also, we need to respond. It's being harmonized, people that are hearing from God. And it's the mercies of God that we can turn around now. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.